Will you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 11 will be our study for tonight. We appreciate the providence of God who have permitted us to come to this place for the purpose of studying His Word. Thanks to all of you who have come, who worship here in a regular way, but perhaps there are visitors in the audience tonight. Thanks for being here. And we're thankful again for this church having me to be a part of this gospel meeting. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I declared unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye obey. Tonight, I want to talk subject, the gospel that Paul preached. When we talk about the gospel, we're talking about the good news, the evangelion. It's the good news. What good news? Christ is coming into the world, His birth, His work, His crucifixion, His burial, and His resurrection from the grave, and His ascension into heaven, and His coronation. I think I better do a little explaining here tonight. He came into the world, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 10:5, a body thou hast prepared me. The Jehovah's Witness says that He was a created being. That is false doctrine. Jesus Christ, amen, existed before His body, because He said above, watch it, thou hast created a body for me. Amen, somebody. Amen. Now, His coming he did the will of his Father. Amen. He said, I must work the work of him that sent me. Night cometh when no man worketh. That's John 9 and verse number 4. Then his crucifixion. He went to Calvary's cross between the twilights of two worlds, two malefactors, one on the right and one on the left. Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross. Now watch this. He died. And we know that. But we sometimes, we talk about the excruciating pain in which our Savior suffered. But that's not the really idea. When Jesus Christ died, if Jesus Christ died for us, why do we die? Jesus Christ didn't die for us, talking about a physical death on our part. That's not going to keep us from dying. But Jesus Christ died a spiritual death. Jesus Christ was separated from his Father for us. And that's what we really ought to focus on, because we still have to die, but we do not have to die a spiritual death because what he did. Amen. John said in John 1:29, am I sounding all right? John said in 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God, get it now, who take away the sin, S-I-N, of the world. If you notice in that text, there is no S on sin. John 1:29 is singular. What do you mean? Jesus Christ did something that we couldn't do. Sin has to do with man being separated from God. But sins have to do with our misbehavior. And Jesus Christ broke that barrier between God and man. Is that right? Who taketh away the sins of the world. The Greek word, iro. He sucks it up, takes it away. Amen. Thank God Almighty for Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Thank God for Jesus. And if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you ought to be. And if you are a member of the Church of Christ, you ought to shout sometimes and thank God. Amen. I'm a member of the blood-bought institution. Well, he died on the cross, shedded his blood, took that same blood, and he bought the Church of Christ. On the one paid for. Amen. Then he was buried in Joseph of Arimathea, new tomb. And the third appointed morning, he was resurrected from the grave. And he was declared, all power is given me in heaven and earth. Watch it. He was resurrected. Now, brethren, if there's no resurrection from the dead, and if Christ did not arise or rose from the dead, we need to go home. We're wasting our time. If Christ did not literally come out of the grave, and that's the greatest thing that ever happened in all human history, the resurrection of Christ. He's the first from the grave to not to die anymore. Lazarus was raised, but you don't see him walking around, do you? He died again. Jesus Christ, watch it, was the first who raised from the dead who will die no more. Is that all right? Now, his resurrection and his ascension to heaven. Acts 1 and verse 9 through 11, he ascended to heaven. And then his coronation. What do you mean his coronation? And Victor, watch it, he was crowned. Daniel foresaw it in Daniel 7, I believe it is. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and there was given him a kingdom. That's what it's talking about. And you know what? These individuals who say that Jesus Christ is not king and he's yet to be crowned and he's reigning right now. Amen. He is king in the kingdom right now. He's reigning on Thug David's throne. Amen. It was physical, but now it's spiritual. It was L-O-N Mount Moriah, but it has been transferred from earth to heaven and translated, watch it, from physical to spiritual. Is that all right? And Jesus Christ is reigning on David's throne right now. Amen. Amen. He's king in the kingdom. Now, that's pretty good, isn't it?
So it's coronation.
Now, the resurrection of Christ from the dead is one of the cardinal doctrines of the faith. Brethren, if the resurrection didn't take place of Christ, we're wasting our time. If it didn't happen, we're yet in our sin. And that's his whole argument in 1 Corinthians 15. Isn't that right? 58 verses. And he argues and make the case for the resurrection of Jesus. That's good, isn't it? Amen. Let's run down this text here now. Point number one, verse 1 and 2. What do we have? Paul's fruit in the gospel. Now, if you're going to study 1 Corinthians, you got to go to the background. And the book of Acts is a book of conversions, but also the book of Acts is a background book. So if you're going to study 1 Corinthians, you don't start in 1 Corinthians. You go to Acts 18 and verse 8. You know what it says? Acts 18 and verse 8. It says, and many of the Corinthians hearing, believed, and were baptized.
Praise God.
Is that good? Now, let's see Paul here. Point number 2, 3 through 8, Paul's facts in the gospel. Then point number 3, 9 through 11, Paul's faith in the gospel. Is that all right? Now, let's look at it. Paul's fruit in the gospel. Paul says, more, brethren, I declare unto you. What do you mean? Partners in it. He called them brethren. They're partners in the gospel. Do you not know that we're partners in the gospel?
Amen.
Now, I know you're putting this gospel meeting on, but I'm a part of this gospel meeting. You know, I never, it ceases to amaze me. Why is it invite a preacher to come in to do a meeting and to be a part of the gospel meeting, and the members who are a member of the congregation won't show up? Can you imagine you having me for supper at your house and I'm sitting at your table eating and your folk didn't come? Well, Brother Shannon, the one that I'm not here, that they the one need to hear that. Well, I advise you to give them a tape and let them listen to it. That's pretty good, isn't it? You might have quiet on me tonight. So partners in the gospel. He said, watch it. The gospel which I preached unto you. Notice what he said. Which I preached unto you. Past it. So what is that? Preached it. Paul preached it to these Corinthians. We have the background in Acts 18:8. Watch it. He said, also you have received, preached it, well, there were partners in it, preached it, they partook of it. Pretty good, isn't it?
Amen.
You know, in the Corinthian letter, they wanted some letters of commendation from Paul. And Paul said, you are our epistles, known and read of all men. Paul is really telling the Corinthians, the gospel we preach, if you want to need some credentials on us, well, the gospel we preach, it cleaned you Corinthians up. It made you a better people. Now, Paul says, they took of it. In other words, also you have received. Then it says, and wherein you stand, they are positioned in it. Now, are you positioned in the gospel? You know, I like what Paul said to Peter, no, brother, there. I think it's the second chapter of Galatians, where Paul whipped on Peter for his little error. Peter said, Paul said, you have not walked according to the truth of the gospel. Galatians 2:14. Now, what do you mean? When you're not walking according to the truth of the gospel, you're sinning. And Paul said to them, watch it, they were standing in it. They were positioned in it. Brother, when you stay with the gospel, you're going to be all right.
Amen.
That pretty good?
Amen.
Then he says, by which also you say, partners in it, preached it, partook of it, positioned in it, pardoned by it. What it? The gospel. Then Paul says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, persisting in it, We got brethren. See, the gospel, amen. The gospel is designed to save you.
Amen.
Do you folks know what a lawnmower is? Boy, I got down here in Florida, and I got off that plane and couldn't see very much. Night. Next morning, I got up, everything was green. I said, man, where am I? I said, everything's home and dead. Cold and dead. So I imagine these folks keep lawn care and business down here. Well, you know it takes gasoline to start a lawnmower. Is that right? Young man, you hear me, young man? I'm pointing at you. You look like you're a pretty nice fella. You know you put gasoline in that lawnmower and you crank it, right? You know it takes gasoline to start the lawnmower. Isn't that right? But it also takes gasoline to keep it going. You can't crank the lawnmower with gasoline being poured out. What? It's not going to run. The gospel is designed to save you and keep you going.
Amen.
Is that good? So I try to keep my tank filled with the gospel. Is that all right? Why? Because I want to keep going. And it's so powerful, guess what? If you keep this gospel, it'll run you right on into heaven. But folk who run out of the gospel, you're not going to heaven. You see it? So you got to be persistent in it. That's Paul, fruit in the gospel. Do you have any fruit?
Amen.
Wait a minute. You mean it? Brother Shannon, I didn't see all that in that text. Well, that's what I'm here for, to unpack it. I'm here unpacking this text so you can see a lot of stuff. Wait a minute. You mean tell me you don't have no fruit in the gospel? You've been in the church how long? 40 years and bragging about it and no fruit? I obeyed the gospel in 1978. 32 years old. When I obeyed the gospel, the first place I went to my own mother. Went to my mother, knocked on my door, and talked to my mother and my dad. And I didn't have any sense. No tack at all. I said, Mama, you and Daddy, y'all in the wrong church. If y'all died, y'all gonna go to hell. I told my own mother and daddy that. Well, you know what I'll tell you. If I told my mother and daddy that, don't you think I'll tell you? Why, yeah. I mean, I had him spend. My daddy heard me preach my first sermon in 78. He didn't obey the gospel because of the influence of denominationalism. My granddaddy was a Methodist preacher. Brethren, that's why I fight false doctrine in these churches that's not in the gospel. I fight them. Why? Because it caused men to lose their soul. Well, my mother, I saw my own mother walk down the aisle and obey the gospel. That's the, she was the first one. I was the first one to obey, and my mother was the second one. And my wife, watch it, she called the Church of Christ a cult. My wife called the Church of Christ a cult. I ended up baptizing my own wife. Hey, but brethren, that's hard. Baptized my wife, my daughter, and many more, thousands of more. You see, I was in a meeting one time down in Marshall, Texas, in a tent meeting. Preaching it, I mean, it's filled with holy. It was 625 people under that tent. I got to preaching, and a young white boy, about 17, 18, 16 years old, they've been 15, ran down the aisle with 5 more and obeyed the gospel. Well, the next day, his mother wanted to see the preacher. And the preacher and the elders there, and she had a little feisty woman about that tall. Looked like she didn't weigh 100 pounds soaking wet. And just had her finger all up in the face and said, I want to talk to y'all. Y'all done got my kid in over there and got him tied up in a coat. And I said, no. I said, no. I said, hold it. Let me have. So we went in the house. I said, what are you calling the Church of Christ a cult? She said, yeah. I said, you in the Baptist church, ain't you? She said, yes. I said, now, I can read about the Church of Christ in the Bible. But I can't read about the Baptist church in the Bible. If anybody in a cult, you're in a cult. Don't call the church. Romans 16:16. Salute ye one another with a holy kiss. The church of the Christ salute you. And you're going to call the church of Christ a cult. And your church is not even in the Bible. Not even in the almanac. Let alone the Bible. Call the church of Christ a cult. Or whatever, Brother Shannon. The next night, I saw a husband and her sneaking in the back. And I said, well, look at there. The cult coming in, I said to myself. And I preached the gospel about 40 or 50 minutes. And they stayed. They may have not obeyed, but they understood it. Is that all right? You may not understand this. You may not obey this gospel, but you're going to leave here tonight. You're going to know what to do to be saved. You may never do it, but you will never rest the rest of your life. You won't be able to sleep tonight. You will not, after tonight, you won't be able to sleep. No. Nope. You won't be able to sleep tonight if you obey the gospel. Amen. Well, do you have any fruit? Do you have anybody that you can put your hand on and say, I brought these folk to Christ? Amen. Now, we're not talking about bragging. We're talking about facts. Isn't that good?
Amen.
All right, let's go on here now. Paul's facts in the gospel. Paul took us to the Christ and his command. He said, for I delivered unto you first of all,
that which I also received.
Paul said that he received revelation in Galatians chapter 1, verse number 12, 13, and 14, I believe he talks about how that he received revelation from Jesus Christ.
See? And
then he, watch it. Then Paul takes us to the cross. He takes us to the cross. Paul takes us to the cross. He said how that Christ died for our sins. According to the scripture, when you go to Psalm 22 and verse number 1, 16 and 18, and Isaiah 53 and 8, Paul said, according to the scripture foresaw the death of Christ. So Paul takes us to the cross. He takes us to the cemetery. Is that good stuff? You think I'm just making this up, Victor? No, I'm not making it. Watch what he said. Took him to the cross. He said, and that he was buried in that cemetery. And the third day, he arose again.
Then, not only
that, but he took us to the calendar. What do you mean the calendar? On the third day, he was raised. That's pretty good.
Amen.
Talking about all the deuce, pat or something, or wave your hand. Is it all right?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, you ought to be happy about this kind of preaching. It's Bible preaching now. Rose the third day according to the scripture. Psalm 16:10. Acts 2:22-36.
All right. Now let's go a little further.
These are the facts.
Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.
Is that all right? Then
Christ seen by his friends. And that he was seen of Cephas.
And of the 12 as his friend. Right? Then it says, watch it. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at one time, who the greater part remained until the present. But some fall asleep. So he's seen his friends and seen by the flock. And he was seen of his family. After that, he was seen of James. Family folk. What is Paul doing here? Then he says, then of all the apostles, that's his followers. Then he was saw of his foe. Who was his foe? Paul said, and last of all,
he was seen of
me also
as one
born out of due time. Now, what is Paul doing here? I used to read this and couldn't figure out what in the world is Paul trying to tell us here. Seen of his friend, the 12. The flock, 500 brethren, one time. He's trying to show the Corinthians that the resurrection of Christ took place. time I hear people, you know, man wrote the Bible. You ever hear them say that? And some of my black brothers said, well, you know, the white man wrote the Bible. I've heard that all my life. For years, I didn't know how to answer. The Bible is all messed up. So I just started using some common everyday sense. I asked a guy one day, I said, who was the first president of the United States? He said, George Washington. I said, how do you know? He said, well, it's in the history book. Oh, yeah? Who wrote the history book? Answer. I said, how many? I started to do this, but I can't do it because we've got some folks here. Have y'all ever been to Southeast Asia and Vietnam? I know you've been there. Maybe some more. Anybody ever been to Phan Rang, Phuc Vien, Dok To, Long Binh? Anybody ever been there? No? Does it exist? Yeah. I'm a little bit. I'm talking about it can be proved. How many of y'all been to Mozambique? This guy back here, see, I've been there. Why? Wait a minute. See, you read this stuff in books, and you say, well, some man wrote it. Well, I got the attention, man. How many of you saw your great-great-great-great-granddad? How many of you saw him? None of you. Now, I saw this lady raise her hand. You saw yours? Oh, well, you mighty old if you did. Now, what are you going to go on? You've got to go on the evidence. See, sometimes we say, if you can't see a thing, you can't prove it. I've had them to jump me in tent meeting, Victor. They said, you can't prove the existence of God. Or you can't see it. I said, do you have a brain? He said, yeah. I said, you ever saw it? Have you ever had your head? You see, are you listening? This is a little excursion from a lesson. But Paul is trying to show us and prove to us, he goes on down and prove positive that Christ was raised from the dead. Amen. You drive automobiles, right? Can you hear it? Wait a minute. See an automobile running down the interstate and you 3,000 feet and you see it going. Is the motor turning? You don't hear. You don't see the pistons going up and down. Well, how do you know, and you can know, that it's working? From the evidence. Are you living? How do you know you're living? From the evidence. I don't know what my heart looks like, but I've got one, and it's working. And it's been working 63 years. And yours is working. Your heart is pumping right now. I don't see it, but I see the evidence. Now, Paul tried to show him, Victor, about the evidence. I'm getting a little off now here. Want to prove the existence of God? Brother, you talk about Christian evidences. Some individual tell me, well, God doesn't exist. Why would you say that? Because I don't see it. Let's do something simply. You go home. And you smell that aroma in your house. Standing rib roast, hot roast, salad, hot roast, butter, candlelight. And would you say that it just happened? Would you come in and say, well, it just happened. I don't believe nobody been here. It just happened. Would you say that? I've got a watch my sister gave me. It's a faucet. You think that somebody just ran over some glass and metal and made this watch? Or do you think it was designed? This is designed. If there is design, there got to be a designer. The cosmos, the world in which we live, is designed. It's got to be a designer. That's just common sense. I mean, if a baby got that much sense. And yet we go to college and have our brains expanded and let some individuals You know, I had one to tell me one time about how old the world was. I asked him one question. I said, when do you think you're going to die? I said, you can tell me how old the world is. You know how long you've been here. When are you going to die? Now, you're that smart. You ought to be telling me when you're going to die. Pretty good, isn't it? That's a little excursion there, but I'm going to bring some things out. And all this is connected. Well, see, because, brethren, you need to learn to prove about Christianity. It's not about a bunch of feelings, Victor. Not feelings. I wish I had time to go further, but I don't. I need to cut this thing off here. Is it all right? So Christ Jesus rose again the third day. And even the Bible tells us, but history proves it. Right? Amen. I wish I had more time to deal with that, but I think that's sufficient. If that's not good enough, you see your preacher and your elders and let them struggle with you.
Amen. But
Paul's testimony. Look
at
what Paul's testimony says there in verse 9. Let's do that right quick. Is that all right? Verse 9. Now, let's look at his testimony. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 9. Paul said, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called apostles, because I persecute the church of God. See, Paul, that's his testimony. See? His faith in the gospel. His testimony. Then he talks about how he's grateful and thankful. Now, brethren, I persecute the church of Christ. For I obeyed it.
Yep.
Fought against it. I set out to prove that the church of Christ was started by Alexander Campbell. Boy, what a mistake. I said, I'm going to prove it. And the priest, I was in the Catholic Church at the time, and the priest told me, oh, you've been messing with those folk. They called them Camelites way back then. Alexander Campbell started the Church of Christ. Some of those guys believe it not, but they won't. One of them even wrote a book called Campbell Soup. And I said, oh, yes. And so I just started doing a little research. Kind of find out in Massachusetts there's a little historical sitting there, block or whatever, about the Church of Christ in 1620. That's in America. Then I went to Cane Ridge, and there were some folks in the Church of Christ before Alexander Campbell came to America. Oh, but I don't really need to go there either. Romans 16:16 and Matthew 16 verse 18, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 27, he says, now ye are the body of Christ, are the church of Christ, and members in particular. Paul wrote in Romans 16:16, salute ye one another with a holy kiss. The church of Christ salute you. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4 and verse 4, there is one body. Paul wrote in Ephesians 1, verse number 22 and 23, has put all things on his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. And Paul wrote in Galatians chapter Ephesians 2:16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. Ephesians 3:6, that he might reconcile the same body. Well, the Bible was written AD 96. Alexander Campbell wasn't born. So I said, no. I said, now I see Church of Christ or the body of Christ in Scripture. I said, but I don't see the Roman Catholic Church, not even in your Bible. I told the priest, wait a minute. You said that the Catholic Church is the one true church. And brethren, they believe that. But I said, why is it that the Roman Catholic Church is not even in your Bible? See, they got these popular books. They got 72 books in their Bible and so forth. Don't want to get into that. I said, hey, listen, and they're all their writings, but the Jewish historians do not accept them as inspired. in a Roman Catholic church. They're not even nearby. The Pope, where'd that come from? See, I know that doctrine because I was brought up in it. And the Methodists and the Baptists, you don't stand a chance. Amen.
Amen.
So you see, this is how you convert Catholics. I was in Ohio one time in a meeting, and these brothers, they didn't know what they were doing. Had this boy that was Catholic out of Chicago, and they were beating him down. I said, leave him alone. I said, leave him alone. I said, son, come here, man. I said, would you agree to have a Bible study with me? They said, yes. He said, I know you're holding a meeting. I said, tell you what, right after the meeting every night, you get off work, you come over. And I said, I'll teach you. I said, now you bring your Catholic Bible. I said, no, don't want no King James. You bring your Catholic Bible. Brought the Catholic Bible every night. And the first thing I showed him was in 1 Timothy 3 in verse number 1, where Paul said, in order for a man to be an elder, a bishop in the church, he had to have children. And I said, do you know? And he said, I know the bishop. I said, is he married? No. I said, he may have some children, but he's not married. You know, a lot of these guys sneak around there. They may not be married, but these bishops, they got some children. And it's by the nuns, too. If you want to push me now, I can take you to the convent down at the bottom and show you the little graves of babies where the nuns had the babies out of wedlock by the priest. Don't get on Brother Shannon now, because I know what I'm talking about. And I got him there. Then I took him over there and showed him about the church, taught him the gospel from the Catholic Bible. Last night at the meeting, baptized him into Christ. And his mama shouted. She said, thank God, I don't believe this. He said he would never be a member of the Church of Christ. That's what he said. I didn't pay. I said, all I want to know, are you honest? Reading or stopping? I said, now, fine. I had him read, the Churches of Christ salute you. I said, now you get Catholic out of there. He obeyed the gospel of Christ. And I don't know what the elders and preacher got mad at or not, but they hadn't even called me to tell me thanks or nothing. But it doesn't really make any difference. The boy obeyed the gospel. Amen. Is that good?
Amen.
Brother, don't look and don't tell a man he's going to be lost. You teach him first. I took time out to teach him every night for 4 nights after the meeting. Is that good? When he obeyed the gospel, I said, now call your mom. I'll do that while I'm here. That's a little excursion. I got off track here, but I'll get back on the main line. Paul's thanks, verse number 10, he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was brought on me, was not in vain, because I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Isn't that, so Paul, he talks about his testimony, but now he talks about him being thankful. You know, I'm thankful that God, boy, and it's good. God blessed me to be an Army paratrooper with the 101st Airborne Division. Went to Vietnam, jumped out of airplanes at night in the snow. Went to Vietnam, went through all that stuff over there, and was Catholic. And God let me come back to the United States of America, and 10 years later, I obeyed the gospel. And you think I'm not going to preach the truth? And I went through all of this trouble overseas, and thinking that I was saved and was lost is a jaybird. And God saved me. I obeyed the gospel. And you think I'm not going to preach the truth and tear down denominationalism and build up the truth? I'm thankful. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful.
Amen.
And as long as I'm black and bald and tongue work from both ends, I'm going to tell it like it is. And when I'm in the pulpit, I don't have any friends. I don't have no black friends or white friends in the pulpit. I love my mother, but I don't compromise the truth of my mother or anybody.
Amen.
Amen. Is that good?
Amen.
Then we go here to the last one here. Truth. He said, therefore, whether it were I or they.
So we preach, and so they obey.
That all right? So that's true. And Jesus said, truth shall make you free. Now let's look over here a minute. Paul wrote this to them, right? He wrote about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, right? Talk about the blood of Christ, how that the blood, watch it, in the body here. Luke wrote it in Acts 20 and verse 28, where Paul said, take heed therefore to yourself, to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost will make you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That's just simply, it says church of God, it didn't say church of Christ. But who died on the cross? You just figure that. The God, Jesus said God is the Spirit. And Jesus said Spirit don't have flesh and bone. Well, Jesus died on the cross. So the American Standard verse says the church of the Lord. It's right here. The church of Christ. The body of Christ. And Paul could not say, now ye are the body of Christ, until after they had obeyed the gospel. Is that pretty good?
Amen.
The Bible says in Acts 18:8, and many of the Corinthians hearing, what did they hear? They heard the same thing that you heard tonight about the death of Christ, his burial and the resurrection, and that he has one church. And this is where people get all mixed up. They hate it. Why y'all just keep saying one church? Let me do it like this. I've been all over the world, and I never seen but one McDonald's. How many McDonald's you got down here? One. No, don't tell me two. It's one McDonald's, but it's many stores. Come on by here. One McDonald's, but many stores. There's one body, or one church, and many congregations. All of the McDonald's, watch it. You don't go to Wendy's talking about a Big Mac. All of the McDonald's got the same recipe. Is that right? Same name. Even a little kid to see the golden arch. Is that right? Church of Christ. Why are you calling it Church of Christ? That's what the Bible called it. The body of Christ. Right? And you know what? We should speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Call Bible things by Bible names. Do Bible things Bible ways.
Amen.
Get out of trouble. Can't get Methodists out of there. Pentecostal, none of that. Church of Christ. If you're going to heaven, you're going to be in the Church of Christ. Somebody says, I'm going to heaven, but I ain't going to be in the Church of Christ. Wrong. Never happened. Brother Sam, do you, I preach just like this on television. If you don't believe it, look up, point to YouTube, boom. You see me pop up there. They got me on the internet. White brother's so good to me, boy. You know, some mighty good white people in this world. Got John Shannon on YouTube. Preaching the gospel. Isn't that good?
Amen.
They heard about the death of Christ and they heard about the church. You can't go to heaven unless you're in the church of Christ. And the Lord is going to add you to the church, the one that he wants you in, when you obey the gospel. So you hear the gospel? What do you mean hear the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When you hear the gospel, watch it. You got to repent of your sins. Not only faith, but you got to repent. Jesus said, except you repent, ye all likewise shall perish. Well, what is repentance? Repentance is a backing up. You have to stop it. In a church not in the Bible, you got to come out. Come on out with your hands up. Come on out. Leave that junk back. And when I left the Catholic Church, you know what I did? I had to leave all the Hail Marys and all that stuff. I left it there. I didn't bring none of that junk to the Church of Christ with me. And I still remember. I said, I want to be taught the Bible. And don't, brethren, elders, listen to me. When these folk come out of denominationalism, leave that stuff over there. Don't try to mix denominationalism with truth. You're going to have a mess. Yeah, I know the doctrine in the Roman Catholic Church. But that's not the doctrine of Christ. Hear the gospel. Believe it. You got to repent of your sin. Change your mind about it and stop it. Don't say no Hail Marys and Our Fathers. No beads. genuflecting and all and doing the sign of the cross. You don't know holy water, none of that stuff. You know, that stuff not in the Bible. Mechanical instruments of music in church worship. You got to repent of that stuff. It's a violation. The Bible says, open your Bibles. Look at Ephesians 5:19. Do this tonight. Run the night here, wake these folks up. Maybe they'll bring somebody back tomorrow night. Ephesians 5:19, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Brethren, Colossians says, watch it, teaching and admonishing one another. Are you listening, brethren? Now listen to this, brother. The Bible didn't say a cappella music. That's what you said. The Bible did not say a cappella music. Let me tell you why, brethren. Because whistling is a cappella. Humming is a cappella. It comes from your voice. But the text says, sing! So when I go to a congregation and I hear the boom, the boom, and the humming and all that, you're using a cappella, but you're not singing. And the singing should be teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. If anybody want to pull on that, pull on it. Brothers and sisters, every single one of acapella. Oh. The Bible don't mention acapella. It just said sing. That's come from the voice, but it didn't tell us to whistle. It says sing. Do you know what sing means? Sing and teaching one another. I sing, you sing. We're teaching one another. And you don't teach folk lies. You teach the truth. So the song you sing ought to be true. Amen. Preach, Brother Shannon. These folk won't say amen. Is that right, son? Is that right?
Amen.
So when I go to these churches and I see them hand clapping and jumping around, they don't know what they're doing. You better be glad. He ought to try to take lessons from Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10. Somebody, well, we're praising God our way. Lick your fingers, go to Acts 17. Acts 17:24. Amen. Boy. Acts 17:24. And all right. Acts 17:20, look at it. It says, watch it. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, and he dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Watch it now, look at it. He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. So God doesn't dwell in his, right here, he dwells in us. Got it? Because, amen, he dwells in us. Not in this. This building is not holy. Not only that, let's go to the next verse. Look what it says. Watch it. Neither is he worshipped with men's hands. That hand clapping, he ain't worshipped. You're not worshipping God doing this. That's not worshipping God. That's real worship. And that's a violation.
Amen.
Oh boy, I know you wasn't looking for this. No, I know you wasn't looking for this. Boy, I tell you, I got some brethren so mad at me, they better not bother me. You better not bother me. Come on. Here's some in Florida. There's some in Florida don't like me. Some in Tennessee don't. Why? Just because, especially my black brother. And some of my white brother, the same way. They got all this jumping and carrying on. That's not worshiping God. That's ignorant worship.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes 5:1, you come in the house of God, be more ready to hear than to get sacrificed to fools. Jumping around. Got more religion in your hand than you got in your head. Is that right? Amen. I don't know how I got on that. Watch. They heard the gospel. They believe it. They repented their sins. After repentance, you confess Christ as the Son of God. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Every one of them baptized in Christ. See? And all of the promises of God are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:20, all of the promises, what promise? Spiritual promises are in Christ. And when you're in Christ, watch it. You worship him, you walk in him, and you work for him. Is that good?
Amen.
Are you listening? Brethren, this gospel will hold water. This is the same gospel that Paul preached, right? Paul stirred up a lot of people. When Paul went into the town, it was a riot of revival. And that's where it is when I go in town. And brethren, you think I'm wild now? Kiss me on a tent. Kiss me on a tent. Boy, we cut up on a tent. Yes, sir. Isn't that good? Bring somebody out to the meeting. Are you here tonight? Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ for the remission of sin. Jesus said, go preach the gospel. He that believeth, what? The gospel. And is baptized shall be saved. See? Now you know what you have to do to be saved. What? Now, so I'm not going to do that. You better not die. I hope you go home tonight and just roll and tumble. I hope you can't sleep a wink tonight. What would I rather see you roll and tumble in here than to roll and tumble in hell? Where would you rather roll at? Here? I'm preaching while you roll right on in the water. You know why the devil don't want you to be baptized? The reason he don't want you to be baptized, because he know you burn better when you're dry. I haven't read nowhere where God dry cleaned nobody. Jesus said, go preach the gospel. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. Song leader, come on up. Why not tonight? If you're here tonight, why not do it as together we stand and sing?